All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Michelle, and welcome to part two of Yoga for Entrepreneurs. It is still February 21st, 2020, and we are in my home studio. And I got to tell you, too, you are the only ones who've ever been in my home studio before, other than people who have been in my home. I'm a super private person. I'm an introvert, even though I talk a ton and I share a lot with people. And it feels very special to invite you into my home studio. And so I'm going to speak a little bit about, I wonder if I can just grab a chair because I'm just crouched over here. Give me a sec. Let's see if I'm at the right height. Oh, I'm really short. Oh, there, that works. You guys can see me, right? And I don't have to remain crouched over as I'm chatting with you here for a minute. So it feels really special to invite you into my home studio. And last year we didn't do that. We shot it off into like with a window behind me, I think. And so I've never ever done this before into my home studio. And super happy to welcome you here. Because how the studio is set up, I've been practicing for nearly 20 years now on a very regular basis. And before that, in bits and pieces, and when I was a teenager as well in different ways, but the series study began when Dana was just very small. She's going to be 21 now. And this place I've lived in for 2.5 years now. And so I've lived in two other places in that time. And this space is set up just the way I want it to be, but it took many iterations. And I didn't have a space like this for my yoga practice until 2.5 years ago. So whatever space you have, know that it's perfect for you. In the house that I owned until I sold it a few years ago, that I owned for nearly 25 years. I couldn't even raise my arms overhead. I would bump into the ceiling because I was downstairs in the basement. It was an old house. Whatever place you've got, know that it's perfect. Know that it's just right. The reason I wanted to tell you a little bit about my home studio is it's in the perfect position. And what can you find for you that is the right place to practice in? What makes this so right for me is that right behind us, that's my room, right? So I walk out of my room and I walk right into my yoga studio. It might not look like a yoga studio. It might look like a couple of bookshelves, but you don't really need much. There's a couple props sitting down there. There's a backbender right there. And I think if I open my office door, you'll actually be able to see where my office is. That's where you usually see me, all right? So why am I bothering to point out where my room is and where my office is? And why do I want you to find something the best you can strategic in your own home that would work for you, even if you're just doing Shavasana right now? Why does space matter? If you think about it first, it'll mean more. Yeah, Yvonne.
You don't need a lot.
You don't need a lot. This is my luxury studio. Mm-hmm. I am so happy with it because I've got some props in my office. I've got some props on the bookshelf. There's some blocks and sandbags and so on. You don't need all that stuff. You don't need anything to start. It can be very, very simple. And then also, I get out of bed in the morning, I bump into my yoga studio and I'm lying on the backbender because it's right there. I walk out from teaching you guys and I bump into my yoga studio and I'm going to lie in Shavasana. Right beside me, you can't see it, but my daughter's exercise bike is there. That's the only other piece that's non-yoga equipment, right? So a place where I'm actually going to use it, a place where I'm actually going to do it. I didn't have that in my home. It was down in my basement. It was a shared space. It had the couch and the TV in there and I would go and practice yoga. So, but I could close the door there. So finding a space where you can actually practice and you don't need a lot. This is where I practice every day. So as we get to moving, I want to underline the yogic principle. We'll talk more about this in the third block of ahimsa. You've heard me talk about ahimsa before. Do you remember what it means? Some of you will remember, some of you may not. What's ahimsa? If you recall it, you'll remember better. Yvonne, I can see you bursting with it. You know.
Non-harming.
Yes, non-violence, non-harming. It's a yogic virtue. It's a principle that we live by. And it's in other spiritual traditions as well, obviously. But I want you today to be non-harming and non-violent toward your own body. Sometimes there's violent communication. Sometimes there's violent sales tactics. There's speakers who kind of push down on somebody else and want themselves to be big. We can make the audience smaller. Like, there's all kinds of violence that can happen in small and big ways in our world. And how do we end the violence if not first in our own bodies? And without some kind of nonviolent communication, we're learning that. I don't call it that, but at practical applications, for instance, how do we start by listening and so on, right? How are we going to do that, again, if we don't find it in our bodies first? And it happens in very subtle ways and sometimes gross ways, like with Barbara going, I'm not comfortable, but I think I'll stay here. And I've done it too. I confessed about the Diamond Elite Retreat. It's like, oops, I went a little bit too far. So nonviolence, non-harming toward your own body. And if something doesn't feel right, trust that and come out. If you're not sure about something, unmute and ask a question. If you're, again, just back off and do less. Less is more. Often we bring the violence of our world and the unrest of our world and we cram it into our yoga mat, and then people get injured or people get, you know, and instead let's have the alignment of the practice have a ripple effect out into the world. So Barb taking care of herself in Shavasana and then being gentler with herself when she says, hey, I have different words to talk about my transformation and that's okay. Right. So the other thing that we learn as we start to move our bodies is we learn so many things about, and again, we'll start actually moving in a few minutes, but I want to set the groundwork for it. Ahimsa, nonviolence, non-harming. Have a simple space that you're actually going to use. And there was another piece. Give me a second. Well, just how you do anything is how you do everything. What you build on the mat is what's going to have a ripple effect out into the world. So less is more. Less is more. There's one more piece. Oh, and don't compare. So there's people here who have had been practicing yoga for maybe many decades. Some of you, this is your first time or, you know, everything in between. So don't compare, and also don't compare with what your body was a week ago or a month ago or 20 years ago or yesterday, because you want to pay minute attention to what's going on today. And when we do that, then we're able to sort of build that focus that we were talking about in the last segment. Because when I can pay attention to what's happening in my body in minute levels, then I can translate that out into my world. And I remembered what I was going to say now. So Iyengar yoga is very much about alignment. There's a couple things that characterize Iyengar yoga. Highly trained teachers. Takes like 6 years to get to the first level of certification. I'm at the third level. So it's highly, highly trained. It's an intensive practice of study. The use of props. We don't all have, you know, bendy, yogi bodies. So Iyengar pioneered the use of props, blocks and bolsters and straps and blankets. So everybody can access the postures and then alignment. So I want to say a little bit about alignment. I wonder if you can see my knee here. So what we always want to do, see my foot, right? So there are points of alignment. Like, I don't want my knee going wonky. Yeah, I think you can see. I don't want my knee going wonky over in this direction while my toes are pointed in the other direction. That's going to cause strain on my knee. So when my knee is a hinge joint, it's only going to move in two directions, right? I don't want it wonking over that way and over that way. And so sometimes I end up doing that, though. If I'm in a posture and I'm kind of not mindful, my knee starts to go out or more often in. So what yoga teaches us is, I'm not going to beat myself up because my knee is bending in. I'm not going to say, hey, I wish my teacher would get off my back because my knee is bending in and they told me they shouldn't be so harsh on me. I'm not going to, like, there's all this mind stuff, right? I'm just going to notice that my knee is going this way and I'm going to move it back to where it is. Non-attachment, non-harming. I just am going to align it. So now I can use my knee joint and let it be safe and healthy for the rest of my life, right? And I'm going to work with what I've got too. So maybe I've got a knee injury or I've been in a car accident or whatever it is. I'm working with a recovering sprained ankle right now. One of the things that I love about Iyengar yoga is that it's designed for everybody. And at every stage, there are classes, yoga for pregnancy. There's yoga for people with living on the cancer journey. There's yoga for like every level. And so that non-judgmental awareness, we can then take over into our companies. We don't go, man, am I ever stupid? I put my knee in that direction. Now everything is lost, because we do that in our companies all the time. Or, man, how come they didn't teach me the right way? If they taught me the right way, I would have never gone up, blah, 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 blah. Yoga is about stilling the fluctuations of consciousness. I noticed, like I observed my breath in Shavasana, I just notice, and I have a mentor, a teacher that helps guide me. My knee is over there. I simply and I'm back, and I think we're still recording. I don't know exactly how long I was gone for. You guys can hear and see me again now, right? Okay. So, yay. I looked up and I'm like, wait, I'm frozen. So I don't know where I left off, how much of that you guys heard, and when the voice stopped. But so yoga teaches us to just move the knee. That's one of the big parts I was talking about. You heard that, right? Just move the knee, non-judgmental awareness, not beat up on, and then have so much more energy for our mission, right? So much more focused intentionality. And how perfect, the universe conspires to support us. So my computer froze, and if that had been before my yoga journey, it probably would have been, oh no, everything's wrong, whatever. I have my own disempowering stories, right? But the yoga journey is meant for that. Just like I move my knee back in place, it's like, oh, look, I'm frozen. I think if I turn off my computer and turn it on again, they'll come back. I wonder where I left off. Am I always like that? No. Is it better and better? Yes. And what is it to cultivate that mind state? Because when I am not like that, I'm leaking energy all over the place and I can't have that focused intentionality for my mission. Right? So hang on a second. I just want to something out here. Okay. Oh yeah. I just want somebody's. And I think I froze like this or something too, didn't I? Just saw your LOL there, Yvonne. Okay. Anything else that I want you to know? No comparing, no judging. Come out sooner. I might say that we're doing this and your body is not doing that. That's perfectly fine. All right. So less is more, and we make progress much more quickly. And always we're going through the body, and it's really about that mind state, but don't worry about it. We're just going to start to move. All right. Any questions without which we cannot go forward before we start to move. Okay, awesome. I just want to hear a little bit about just one word from a couple of you. What's your mind state? Because I'm trying to read the energy in the room and you're a little bit unreadable right now. I don't know if it's like, man, I want to start moving, or if it's like, yeah, it's men, I want to start moving. Some of you, it's, I don't know what to expect. I'm a little concerned. Some of you, it's like, just talk to me a little bit, one word or two, so I know where you are. Yeah, Lindsay, and then Yvonne.
Ready.
Ready, fantastic. Yvonne?
Anticipation.
Fantastic, okay, great. Does that cover it for most of you? Somewhere like that? Okay, fantastic. Props. Props are simple. There's a stack of blankets over there. Let's see if I turn this. Can you see that? On the shelf, there's a bunch of blocks. We'll get to play with these things more in Mexico. There's straps that we use, and we can use a wall as a prop. So we start to learn to use the world as a prop for a practice so that we don't have to be bendy yogis, all right? So you're going to have to let me know too if you can hear me as I move back. You might or may not be able to hear me. So somebody like wave your arms or do something big because you're all a little tiny, right? So wave your arms, something that I will see, or speak loudly and say, I can't hear you, Michelle. And then I'll move up and speak. And we had to play with a little bit last time. I'm not a, you know, video yoga teacher by trade, you know? So we're learning and doing this as we go. A couple of things that I want you to gather, and then we're going to move. So this is just going to take 2 minutes. Some props that are helpful. If you have something to sit on, and you're all probably sitting already, so I thought that was probably handled. So some kind of thing to sit on. And if you have either, if you have a yoga strap, you could grab that now. If you don't have a yoga strap, go grab either a necktie, or a towel, or a scarf that you don't mind playing with, like not your most delicate scarf, one that is a little bit like, could be used like a necktie. So go and find that, and then maybe grab a couple of blankets, and maybe a couple of books, all right? A couple of thick books. We might not use everything, but go ahead, take 2 minutes and go and find some everyday props that you already have in your home. 2 minutes for that. And we'll just take 2 minutes. Then I can play with the camera too and make sure it's set up right. Okay, and somebody who's already here, I'm now further away from you. Can you still hear me? Because I want to make sure I can hear you too.
Yes.
You can. Okay, fantastic. And you're loud and clear. So I'm not far away. Like the voice is still good. Okay, perfect. One thing I want to mention too, you're going to see me drinking some water because I need to keep talking to you guys. What this is going to like do is I don't do as I do. I'm just drinking water so that I can speak to you. But the yogis say that yoga builds fire inside us. And if we drink water during it, we're putting out the fire. So if you need it, of course, take care of your body first. But if you can go without water, drink lots of water afterwards. The yogis say that, again, we don't want to put out the fire, but it flushes toxins afterwards, right? So save the drinking till afterwards, water, and also eating. I forgot to mention it. I mentioned it in the chat. I don't know if you saw it. So we don't want to do yoga on a full stomach. There's only a couple postures that we can do. We're not going to do anything really intensive So it's fine if you had a snack or even if you ate, but normally empty stomach for a couple hours beforehand, ideally. For me, sometimes it's an hour. And as no water, if at all possible. In a big Iyengar class with senior teachers, if people are drinking water, they won't like it very much, right? But I need to keep talking to you. Okay. And also, I would love it if your computer is on. If you're doing this practice, if you're moving, I want your computer to be on because I want to be able to see you, all right? So please, if you're moving, computer's on. And also just think it's just you being visible. And that's fine because as entrepreneurs, we want to be visible. All right. So, and again, just a show of hands of those that can hear me. Okay. Yvonne said they could hear me, but I just want to make sure. Okay. You can all hear. Fantastic. All right. First, learning how to sit. I want to show you some chair yoga. I'll explain a little bit at first, and then I'll start explaining less, and we'll just do. But I want to keep you, your body safe and happy in this practice. Iyengar yogis tend to be a bit workshoppy as well. It's like we want to understand how to move the body, right? So seated on our chairs, I naturally sit like a yogi, right? I'm at the front of my chair. I'm sitting relatively upright, even though I'm not trying. But most of us, when we sit on our chair, we're like this. And if you can see my body, raise your hand. If you can see it enough? Yeah, okay, good. So we're sitting like this, right? Computer slouch, this is rounded, this is collapsed, heart center is not open, the neck is going to get sore, then we get headaches, right? And so we're slouched over. So as yogis, we want to learn to sit correctly to begin. So we come to the front of our chairs. If you're on a hard chair, that's usually better. If you're on a couch for today, well, so be it. If you've got a harder chair nearby and you can quickly switch to it, great. So come to the front of your chair and remember, I think it was Yvonne who first mentioned about being grounded, and then others picked up that theme as well, right? So what is it to feel grounded? So your legs at a 90 degree angle, ideally, all right? So you can see that my knees are not up by my chest, nor am I like way up like this. So check and see if your knees are at a 90 degree angle. For me, I could probably use a little bit more height. So I'm taking a... This is another yoga prop, just a block to place on the chair. So now my legs are parallel to the floor. So take a blanket, take whatever you need. And for some of you, if you've got shorter legs, it might be the opposite. You're gonna place that block beneath the, like for me, this would be all wrong, I'm 5'8". My legs are angled up. So we take the time, just like what Barb, thank you, Barb, didn't do in Shavasana, but she's gonna do next time. And I didn't do in Mexico, in one of my practices, I didn't take the time to make sure that my body was comfortable and aligned, right? So thighs parallel to the floor, shins perpendicular to the floor, so that nice right angle. And then just feel as though the feet were rooted, as though there were roots growing from the feet down into the earth. Right, so in yoga, always something grounds, something else extends. So feel rooted through the feet. And then you can even, so for the sit bones, you can lift up and then come directly down on the sit bones. So you're right on the tops of the sit bones, right? See if you can feel that. You can even pull the flesh of the buttocks slightly back into the side and see if there's more of a lift through the trunk, right? Lift through the core of the body. If you're not sure, just release it again. And there's a kind of sinking. And then you can come up, come right onto the tips of the sit bones, and then pull the flesh of the buttocks slightly out into the side. And then if you can feel a difference, you're far away from me. So if you can feel that difference, that there's more of a lift through the core, raise your hand. If you can't feel it, it's okay, but quite a few of you can feel that. That's fantastic. If you didn't feel it, it's okay. It's still happening, all right? All right. Feet grounded. Sitting right on the tops of the sit bones. In yoga, something grounds, and out of that grounding, we extend. So I want you to take your hands, kind of like itsy bitsy spider hands, behind you, thumbs point back. For me, I'm gonna remove that, because I can do it a little bit better with the block removed. Press into the hands like so, press and to lift and open the heart center, right? So we were also talking about opening the heart. Lift and open the heart center. So feet grounded, sit bones, I'm sitting right on the top of them. And then I press into the hands, to lift and open the heart center and lift both sides of the torso. Elbows draw back, chest is open, but I'm not thrusting my ribs out. The ribs stay into the body, shoulders roll back and down. My head is directly parallel to, my chin parallel to the floor. So I'm neither looking up nor looking down. Chin parallel to the floor, press into the fingertips and lift and open the heart center. When we're beginning, we might go, I want more movement. This is too easy. An Iyengar yoga teacher in this posture would be sweating, right? They're in the class. If we stay here longer, because I'm really paying attention to the all the details of the movement, the pressing down, the lifting and opening, shoulder blades draw into the back, bottom tips of the shoulder blades draw into the back, lift. Breathe. How's the breath? Is it like when you're in Shavasana or is it all choppy? And then release. Hands just sitting on the legs. And just notice if you're sitting any different than you usually do. Is there a little more openness in the chest? Is there a little more lift? Take a couple breaths here. And then again, hands behind you, roll the shoulders back and down, elbows draw towards each other, lift and open the heart center. The navel actually draws back toward the spine, chest lifts and opens, ribs draw in, elbows go back, shoulder blades go into the back, shoulders down, chest lifted. If something feels wrong, if there's sudden sharp pain or heat, come out. If it doesn't feel right, trust that, come out and just breathe. You can, you, if you're less experienced, you may be coming in and out every few seconds. All right, it's just your practice. Right? And then again, release. When you released, did you sink your chest? If you think that happened, it actually happened to me and I'm pretty aware of what's going on in my body. If you think that when you release this, you actually drop the chest, raise your hand. Did you notice it? Most of you, right? If you were noticing, it probably happens. So do it again. Press into the fingers, feet grounded, sit bones pressing equally down, right? With that lift through the center line, press into the fingertips, lift and open the heart center. And now can you release the arms, but keep the lift in the heart center? If that felt different, raise your hand. Just checking. Fantastic. Awareness at a minute level, all right? Now, keeping that lift in the heart center, keeping both sides of the torso lifting. Do you know like when you pick up a kid by the sides and how they kind of lift before you lift them up off the ground, like picking up a three-year-old? I want you to feel that it's like some giant is picking you up like a three-year-old, right? Picking you up, lifting there. Shoulders down though. Shoulders release away from the ears. And now bring the arms out in front of you, like so. Now, if anything ever doesn't feel right, some people have neck and shoulder issues. Some of you might just leave your arms here and you're gonna rest sometimes, and then you're gonna bring your arms out. For others, you're gonna inhale the arms, so no shoulder issues. Inhale the arms up, raise them overhead. Now, for some of you, you might only be able to raise to here, that's fine. Shoulders stay down, arms raise up. And then release the arms. Did you lose the chest? Who lost the chest that time? Raise your hand. I did. So let's try it one more time. Don't lose the chest. Lift and open the chest, fingertips into the chair. Lift and open the heart center. Don't do it if it doesn't feel right. Right? Then keeping that heart center open, arms in front. Inhale the arms up from the grounding in the legs. Lift the arms up. Round and extend. And then exhale the arms down. Can you keep the heart center open? And breathe here. Close your eyes, take a couple of breaths. What do you notice in your mind? Any unsettling thoughts? Any thoughts? Anything that you're thinking, just like in Shavasana, just let it go and watch the breath. Notice it, let it go. It's unimportant right now. Watch the breath. softly open the eyes. And again, let's start from that position of, like, let the buttocks go, right? Start from that position you were in before. Now find the lift again, right? You lift up, come down right on top of the sit bones. Take the flesh of the buttocks back and to the side. Can you notice a lift through the core? Ground through the feet, press into the fingertips, lift and open the heart center again, shoulders back and down. Navel draws in, lower ribs draw in, chest lifts. Keeping that chest lifted, arms straight out. And then as you inhale your arms this time, can you keep the arms absolutely straight? Shoulders down, arms lift, shoulders down, arms lift, arms straight. If they're not straight, bring them down further. Satya, truthfulness. If your arms are like this is a no. I want them instead straight. Doesn't matter how far back. And then exhale the arms down. If you kept the chest open this time, raise your hand. Yeah, some of you did. If you dropped your chest, no judgment, just seeing what is, raise your hand if you dropped the chest. This time I didn't. If you didn't notice whether the chest was up or lifted or not, raise your hand. Satya, truthfulness. Right, so that means we're not paying attention to what's going on, right? And yoga has us paying attention to all the details, right? So whatever it was, just notice it, just like that knee that we move. And one more time, we're gonna do that. Pressing into the hands, lift and open. Then raise the arms. Go a little faster now, inhale the arms up. Shoulders down. And I wanna add one more thing. Imagine you've got compression screws at the shoulders. So it's like the shoulders, outer shoulders are drawing in toward each other, create stability at that joint. And yes, you might be coming in and out. You might be only holding the arms here. You might be just staying up for a moment. If you're more experienced, the arms stay up. And then keeping those compression screws, keeping the chest lifted, exhale the arms down. Watch, see if you kept the chest open. Did you notice what was happening at the back of the neck? Who noticed what the feeling was at the back of the neck just now? Raise your hand. Who didn't notice at all? Raise your hand. Right, okay. So one last time, lift and open. Raise the arms. A softness at the back of the neck. And then inhale the arms up all the way. Soft back of the neck. Soft face, soft throat. Compression screws at the shoulders. And then exhale the arms down. Press into the hands one last time. And this time we're gonna lift and open the heart center. It's just a mini baby back bend. If you have any neck issues, you're gonna keep the neck upright. If you're not sure, you're gonna keep the neck upright. If you've been in a car accident or an accident before, you're gonna keep the neck upright. If you have no neck issues, you can start to look up and you imagine that it's like when you're in the shower. And it's coming down on you and it feels so good. You just want to lift your chest to the sky and feel that water on your face. It's that feeling, right? Soft back of the neck and just lifting up, looking up a little bit, opening the heart center. Little mini back bend, elbows move toward each other. And then exhale, come back to center. Any issues in your body, anything that's not feeling good, raise your hand. Something not feeling good, raise your hand. It's not feeling good, you're going to back off. Okay. Something not feeling good, so talk to me about it. I have to get a little closer in.
How's it, and others feeling all right? So Mary Kay, what's happening in the body? It's not feeling good.
My left side and my left thigh and the joint, you know, where your left leg joins your body.
Yeah.
And this feels really stressed, my whole left side, actually.
Right. So then probably what's happening, trying too hard. Do less, do less, do less. And even if you just, and so it's so instructive for everybody, right? And sometimes as we're learning, we go a little bit too far. So then you might just stay seated and work to lift and open the chest, all right? So only working to lift and open the chest. And sometimes there's something physical going on. Sometimes there's an emotion running through us. There's a story that we're releasing.
And so to just stay with it, if it really doesn't feel good, you just keep doing less, all right? And just let me know how it's going. Anybody else, any other issues going on? Okay, yeah, Angela.
No issues, I just have a question. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
So when we're doing that and pulling the belly button in and pressing my feet into the ground, should I be feeling like my glutes activated the whole time? Like I'm pressing, holding?
Not really. Let me see. Hang on a second. You're going to feel some activation, so you have to actually feel it to know it. But it's not like often in Iyengar yoga, it's not like squeeze tight, right? Okay. It's more like some support there. Does that make sense? Yeah. And that tells me you're paying attention. And one of the things that, and I love questions. Questions always welcome. And then also as I've worked with my teacher, Margot, sometimes she'd say, okay, Michelle, that's enough questions now. And that wasn't like, I'm really glad you asked, but I will ask like 20 questions. And then she'll say, go ahead and feel it in your body, Michelle. So I'm saying that early on, I really encourage questions here, but like also just feel and notice. And the fact that you're noticing that tells me you're paying attention. It's fantastic. Anything else, either issues or questions? Yeah, go ahead, Sherry.
So my lower back feels kind of sore, and I'm not certain if I had too much of an arch or if because I actually have my feet at a 90 degree angle, which because I put something under them. I mean, my knees at a 90 degree angle. Yeah. So an unaccustomed position.
Yes, right. And probably what we're producing is strain all the time and we don't even know it. This is a natural place for your body. And sometimes at first it's going to feel awkward or weird. I think where that's probably coming from most likely is this. And you guys can see, right? Can you see enough detail to see that this is really arched here? This is how most of us sit, and it's really hard on the low back. So that's why I'm saying, like, navel draws in, the tailbone actually tucks down. So I'm creating space. It's similar to the action that we do in Shavasana. I'm making space. So this is probably happening. And sometimes there's weak abdominals. Sometimes it's just like that may be even happening all the time, and you're not even feeling it. You're not noticing it. Sherry, is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
That strain is happening all the time, but there's no attention to it, like kind of like Barb and Shavasana. So I want you all to feel that. You can even use your hands like I'm doing here. Draw the navel in, draw this down, right? And so that there's spaciousness. Now for others, it's going to be the opposite. If there's, sometimes it's, you know, different kinds of weakness, different lengths of the hamstrings and so on, right? For some of us, it's like this. Can you see the difference here? Now this is all rounded like a C and I can't sit up. So for others, we're going to want to like lift this up more until I come to that neutral spine position. Am I making sense here, Sherry? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Makes sense. And what I'm getting out of this is I probably need to have a foot support that I don't have.
Yeah, absolutely.
More conscious of tucking my tailbone under.
I wanted to start with some very deceptively simple yoga moves because all of you, I know, how many of you spend a lot of time sitting on a chair in your day? I bet many of you, right? Maybe all of you, right? So how do we actually sit in ways that are healthy for our body? All right. Anything else burning to be said? Either an issue or burning question? Yeah, go ahead, Mary Kay.
If I turn off my camera, I'm going to still be with you.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, thanks, Mary Kay. And wait, just before you go to Mary Kay, how's that feeling? Is it easing as we're sitting, as we're speaking now?
That's why I was going to turn off my camera to see if that made a difference.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, and just be really gentle with your body. Back off, do less, okay? Yeah, good. Anything else? And Barb, I can only see your knees, just so you know. So that's okay, but yeah, just seeing your knees. All right. Let's start building on what we've learned now. We're going to build a few more movements on, all right? Actually, just before that, what differences did you notice in how you were sitting?
How was it feeling? Did anybody feel more open chest? Did you notice that you were holding tension in the shoulders? You were able to release them. What changes did you notice just with this very, very deceptively simple practice? Anyone? Yeah, Angela, thank you.
I noticed when you were talking about imagining, you know, roots to the ground with your feet, it automatically, when I do that, I can tell I tuck my tailbone right away. So it instantly makes a difference in my lower back. And I Fantastic. Do feel much more upright and open.
Fantastic. Yes. Even moving in these very deceptively simple ways, we start to have a ripple effect of changes and awareness. And we can't focus if we're not even aware of what's going on. And I'm hearing a heightened level of awareness in this, Angela. It's fantastic. And if that's not happening with you, again, just don't judge. Just it's all okay. We're all where we are in the practice, right? Mr. Iyengar says that our bodies are whole and our minds are in pieces. So we can't even separate out the different actions in our bodies. So we're stuck, but our mind is in pieces. He says we want the opposite. We want our body in pieces so we can move the different pieces in different ways and our minds whole. And that's part of the aim. So that's what Iyengar Yoga is doing for us, all right? Okay, so let's get back. Let's do some more moving. Again, gentle. Starting out, seated, feet rooted. Angela told us one of the reasons that that's so important, right? Sitting with support beneath the feet or beneath the buttocks as needed, and then lifting up, sitting right on the tips of the sit bones, and then flesh of the buttocks out into the side. Fingertips down, lift and open the heart center. And often, what Sherry was talking about, that low back, as we try to open the chest, it's like our chest and our low backs are stuck together. I thrust the chest forward. I thrust my low back forward. It's like I'm all glued together. So I have to learn to articulate those different pieces. I'm not thrusting forward. I'm lifting the chest like the breastbone lifts. And this goes up while the tailbone goes down. I'm separating out those parts of my body for health, for wholeness, right? So press into the fingertips, shoulders back and down. Shoulder blades move into the back. Can you still feel the breath easily here? If not, you're trying too hard. Ease off. And then arms out. Inhale the arms up. Compression screws at the shoulders. Exhale the arms down. Chest stays open. We're going to lower them all the way down this time. This time we're going to interlace the hands. So one pinky is down, for me is my left pinky. Press the palms out. And again, if it doesn't feel good, you're not gonna do it. Shoulders down, chest lifted, navel back. Then from the grounding of the feet and at the sit bones and keeping that compression screws at the shoulders, lift the arms up only as far as you can, keeping the arms straight. I don't care how high they go up, arms straight. Compression screws at the shoulders, shoulders down. Exhale the arms down. Change the interlace of the hands. So if my left pinky is down, I'm gonna move it so my right pinky is down. Press the palms out. That's the hardest thing we'll do. And then inhale the arms up. Shoulders, compression screws, shoulders down. Palms reach up, thumb side reaches up. And then exhale down. Nobody told me they had high blood pressure, but they had high blood pressure. You're not gonna raise your arms overhead and hold them there, all right? You're just going to just keep the arms straight out or only raise them for just a moment. But for now, just press them out. All right, a little bit with our, so shoulders, that's one of those big joints in the body. Are they feeling a little different than when we started? Just check and see. A little more movement there, perhaps. We'll do one more piece for the upper body. So place your arms so that they're like so. Elbows parallel with each other like this, and place one elbow over the other. Some of you will be able to interlace the hands. Some of you not, they'll stay like this.
shoulders down, elbows up. Interlace if you can. And then bring the, draw the inner edges of the shoulder blades toward each other and lift and open the heart center. And then notice which arm is on top. Release. Change sides, elbows together, interlace the arms. Don't worry if they're here. Shoulders down, elbows up. Draw the shoulder blades towards each other and breathe. Look out past the arms. Inhale, as you exhale, release. And just see if that upper back feels a little different. If you can notice a little more space in the upper back or just some warmth or it feels a little different, raise your hand. Can you feel it? Yeah, quite a few of you. Excellent. Okay. If you don't feel it, don't worry. Something for the lower body. My teacher called this on a yoga video for people in wheelchairs. So you can do yoga even from a wheelchair, right? She called this sitting like a man, right? Sitting like a man. You might not get to do this, right? Maybe you're just going to cross the ankle over. Can you see my legs, right? For some of you, you're going to be able to lift the leg up. And you can just practice there, like up and down. For some of you, you can lift it up and then release it. Some of you, it's just going to be crossing the ankles, just starting to open up through that, in the same way as Shavasana, the leg turning out, right? So start playing with that. One leg up, releasing. There's no forcing. If it's not easy, you're not going to do it. I like to lift from, you see how I was lifting from underneath the leg, right? So I can use my hands to reach and lift, and I'm not pulling. If it's not easy, I'm just going to go part way. Let's take a couple breaths, just play with it. So we've opened up the shoulders. We have two main big joints in the body, our hips and our shoulders. We want to keep them mobile. Sitting like a man. Eventually this turns into Padmasana, lotus pose, you know, where our feet are both up on our thighs. We're not going to do that today. A couple more times on each side, just play with it. Opening up the hip joint. You can hold it for a couple breaths or just go back and forth. Now what's happening with the chest? Mine was collapsing. Was yours? You still have that heart center open? Now, can you flow with the breath? So maybe exhaling as the foot comes down. Inhale when you bring it up. Is the chest still open? And do this for just another 10, 20 seconds. So make sure you're even. Do an equal number on both sides. And then sit. Just notice the difference from how you sat at the beginning to how you're sitting now. Good. And again, always if there's an issue, you're gonna let me know. Then we're gonna come up to standing. I might need to adjust my camera a little. Everyone still with me? Still all right? If you're good, give me a thumbs up. Okay, excellent. Standing, Tadasana. So I gave you a base seated posture on a chair, how to actually sit properly. Now we're gonna learn how to stand. Most of us stand kind of like how we sit, right? I don't know if I can get my feet into the screen. You're just gonna have to listen to my words. I'll show you the feet to start. Now you can see my feet, right? Okay. So I want you to lift all the toes up. Stand with the feet together. Lift all the toes up.
And again, Michelle, it got really, really blurry.
It got blurry, did it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks. Is it still blurry?
It's coming back now. It just needed to adjust, I think.
I see. Okay, let's try one more time. Just let me know if that happens again. And if you can't see my feet, you're just going to have to imagine it. So can you see now? If you can't see, well, we'll just imagine, all right? So lift up all the toes and then see if you can place them down one at a time from the baby toes first middle toes to the big toes. And feel how the fingers are probably trying to help. The whole body's connected. Now lift one heel up and place it down and stretch the foot out, so make it longer. And then lift the other heel up and then stretch it back so that you're resting on big toe mound, little toe mound, inner heel and outer heel equally. All right, so the feet are rooted. So feeling that rootedness in the feet, bend the knees for a moment and engage the thigh muscles. So imagine that your kneecaps are lifting all the way up to the top of the thighs. Imagine that. Suck the thigh muscles to the bone as you straighten the legs. Now tuck the tailbone, so make space through the low back. Roll the shoulders back and down. Reach the arms by your sides, head is screwed on straight, and imagine that there's a string drawing the crown of the head to the sky. This is Tadasana. Look, gaze straight ahead. So the kneecaps are lifted, thighs pressed back, tailbone tucked, chest lifted and open, ribs drawing in just as we did when we were seated. Neck soft, face soft, gaze forward. From here, from the rootedness of the legs, inhale the arms up, Urdhva Hastasana. Just like we did on the chair, but now we're standing. Feel the rootedness through the feet and then lift through both arms. And then exhale down. Now for some of you, if you cannot stand on one foot, you can do this in a seated version and return to that hip opener that we were just doing and do this from the chair. Right? So if you're not able to balance on one foot, then you can do this from the chair. If you have osteoporosis or osteopenia, you're going to make sure that you're holding onto something so you have steady balance, all right? So I've got my bookshelf here, for instance, that I can hang onto, and we're just going to lift one foot up for a moment and balance. If you already have a yoga practice and you practice a lot, you might take your hand away. If you've got osteoporosis, osteopenia, you're going to make sure you've got something to hold onto. And then you start to test that balance, okay? And then other side, this is my ankle that I sprained. So I'm just learning how to do this again. Yoga is an exploration, right? Just learning the balance again on this side. It's a little more wobbly. And exhale back to Tadasana, mountain pose. Thighs pressed back, tailbone is tucked, chest lifted and open. Now we're going to combine those. And again, if you feel a little wobbly, make sure you've got something that you can hold beside you. We're going to come to tree pose. Now with tree pose, let me see, I want you to see my feet a little bit more. Your leg might be at different places. Oh, you can't see my head now. Hang on. I think you can see, all right. Yeah, there it is. So your foot might just come, you're going to turn the leg out, and your foot might just come partway like so. You might still have your feet, your toes on the ground. You might be hanging on here. This hip doesn't wonk out, it stays in. For some of you, you might lift the leg a little further. For some of you, again, I'm just relearning this after my ankle sprain. The more experienced we are, it comes right to the groin, right? Hips suck in. And then we're going to raise the arms like we did. You're going to do your variation of this. Don't worry what it looks like. For some of you, it might look like this. Right? You find your version. Don't look at me. Look at something that's steady. Something that's not moving. Feel the breath. Hips suck in toward each other. Navel draws back. Chest lifted and open, arms reaching. And then release, exhale down. Come back to Tadasana. What's the mind doing? Is your mind wandering? Are you just focused on the sound of my voice and the breath? It's practice. And then second side, turn out the leg, this hip stays in.
And for me, it's not going to be further than this today. I'm learning balance again on this side, right? So you play with what is appropriate for you. Watch the breath. And slowly releasing. Now, sometimes as entrepreneurs, we're afraid to fall. Now, I got to be a little careful. I've got to be a little mindful because I've got that ankle that's just recovering. But I want to see if I can show you this. So sometimes we're up here in tree pose, and we're going to like hang on for dear life because we don't want to fall. So I want you to go. And then if you start to fall to one side, just let it go. And just start to play with the balance a little bit, right? Just let it go, see what happens. As I start to go over, I just let myself go. So play with the balance on each side. Again, osteoporosis, you're going to be hanging on. If you're not able to stand on one foot, your variation might look like this, right? So you're still getting that opening of the hip and you're raising the arms. So Iyengar yoga is a very flexible practice. There's different things we can do depending on what's going on in our bodies. So play with it one side and then the other. Here we're opening the hips and the shoulders. We're training balance. It requires focus. If we're thinking about other stuff, we're not going to balance. Only the breath. Gaze at something that's still. And once you've tried a couple times to each side, come back to Tadasana. Just see if your Tadasana feels any different after that practice. You can close your eyes for a minute. Go inward. What's this Tadasana feel like? Everyone is different. And softly opening the eyes, let go of your Tadasana. And I had you bring some blankets and a strap. I think I want to do something different right now. So in a full practice, we're going to want to open the shoulders, we're going to want to open the hips, and we're going to want to do something upside down, all right? Now, upside down, later on, that's headstand. For now, I'm trying to see if I can place this in a way that you can see my mat. There's my mat. Right. So you can start at tabletop like so. Let me just show. Can you see this? Where am I? Yes, you can see. I think you can see. Sorry, you're just looking at like behind me, but right. So you can start just at tabletop. If you've got a wall, you can place your hands at the wall. Just watch first. And I'm going to press up into downward dog. Lift way up on the toes and then press the heels down. And what I'm working to do is find length from the arm all the way through the arms up to the outer corners of the hips. One long line, and then I'm going to start pressing my heels to the earth, right? So if that's not accessible to you, you've got wrist issues, you've got shoulder issues, then in order to get that upside down pose, another thing you could do is turn and put your legs up the wall, all right? So always we want to have some time upside down. So find your downward dog. If you're new to the practice, you're going to come in and out. You're not going to stay long. And I want you to be in bare feet, not socks, because I don't want you to slide. And if you don't have a yoga mat, great. If you don't have a yoga mat, be something somewhere where it's not slippery, right? If you're in a surface that's going to be slippery, then you're going to put the legs up the wall instead. If you don't have a wall where you can put the legs up, instead you're going to put the legs on a couch, all right? So play with getting upside down. Sherry, so you're going to make sure you've got bare feet, and I want you to come back in again, and you're going to put your hands about a foot further away from your feet than they are right now. I want you to give yourself more space.
Dottie, your feet can be a little further apart from each other. And Sherry, bend your knees. Lindsay, too, bend your knees. That's it. And Lindsay, you're going to be super gentle. Head down, release the head down. Yeah, good. And everyone release. And how's everyone doing? Any aches and pains? You've got your legs up the wall or you're in downward dog. Anything not working? Lindsay, you okay? You're not okay? If you are okay, do a thumbs up for me. Okay, good. All right. Thanks, Dottie. That was a great thumbs up. All right. I want you to watch something about downward dog. I want you to see, and I'm going to be really ahimsa, nonviolence, non-harming, because I got to watch that ankle. So here's where we tend to be. We tend to hang out like this. This is a don't, all right? I'm all the weight is here, and my back is rounded. This is not helpful. So I want to press into the hands, open up the armpits, lift up the outer corners of the hips. Can you see the difference? Now I'm tall and long. And then I can't do it right now because I'm still working with that ankle. But I start to bring the heels to the earth. Don't do this over here. I want to get back, weight into the legs, all right? So try one more time. And for some of you, you're going to be putting the legs up the wall instead. And for some of you, if that's too much, you can just stay in table pose. All right, so Lindsay's in a version of table pose right now. You're just going to stay there. That's fine. And you don't have to, Lindsay, but I'm just showing people. if downward dog's too much, you're just going to stay. Yeah, and I'm going to, and sometimes there's a rounding that happens in that lower back. So that's why I bend the knees so I can get more extension through that low back. Lindsay, you're going to go super gentle here. Dottie, release the head. Don't hold tension in your head. See the difference? Yes, you're working too hard. So practice is teaching this much better. And then release down. And you can come into, let me see, can you still see me here? Knees apart, toes together, extend the arms out. Now, I can't do this right now. I can't go all the way back because my ankle is going to stop me. So if I have ankle issues, I'm going to take those blankets that I asked you to get. I need ankle issues. Then I've created space for my ankle. See that? I've got my ankle hanging over the edge of the blanket, and now I can do this. But now the floor is too low. I'm going to take that book and put it beneath my head. If my buttocks is way up in the air like this, I'll take one of those blankets and put it behind me like so, so that I got something to press into. So play with the props that you have around you. You have books, you have blankets. What do you need so that that position is comfortable? And if you, oh goodness, if you've got osteoporosis, you're not bending forward, all right? So you're gonna, if you're already in this, come out gently. I would not stay there with osteoporosis. I would not do a forward bend, all right? Not with osteoporosis, so come on out. And instead, what you can do is you can just be seated, all right? We're just being like very cautious, right? No forward bends with osteo. So you're just going to stay seated. You stay at this 90 degree angle, right? And Lindsay, gentle with your back. Okay, good. What time is it here? Okay, we're doing really well. Coming to, let's come back to the chair. I just want to show you, you're going to use your variation with whatever you have around. I've done this with beach chairs. I've done this in all kinds of ways, right? So I've got an Iyengar chair. It's very particularly constructed, but you don't need that to be able to do this. So I'm going to turn to one side. I've got the back of my chair to hold on to here. I'm just going to keep my body in the same position I was when I was seated, and lifting the heart center. And then I'm just gonna twist from the navel. Again, if you've got osteo, you're gonna do just a very gentle twist. You're gonna twist hardly at all. Just a little, right? Tiny little twist. Lindsay, you're gonna be super gentle with this too, right? For others, ground, extend, and then you twist from the base of the spine and you turn back. If you don't have something you can pull onto, like my Iyengar chair, that's okay. You can use the side of your leg to turn. Chest open, navel back, long through the low back. Inhale, lift. Exhale, return to center. Inhale, lift. Exhale, turn to the second side. Just a gentle twist. Look over that opposite shoulder if the neck allows. Otherwise, you can just keep the head straight. Inhale, lift. Exhale, return to center. If you're doing all right, give me a double thumbs up. Okay, fantastic. Any issues, raise your hand. All good? Okay. So next, we're going to just do, again, if you have osteo or if you've had back surgery recently, and you haven't cleared it with your doctor, you're just going to sit upright. For others, we're going to take just a gentle forward bend. So we just, we're seated in that same, you know, good seated position. And we just hinge at the hip crease. Chest stays open, like in, almost like in the back bend. But then I just hinge forward. Osteo, no, you're going to stay upright. Head comes down. And I can reach back, hold the chair behind me. Or for some of you, as long as you can keep this chest open, you can reach a little further down. Take a couple breaths here. Head down. And then inhale up, lead with the chest, because I want to use that strap or that scarf or whatever it is you got. Mine is an Iyengar strap. There's many different things we can do with these straps. I'm going to show you two things. Start in that same seated position, sit bones, adjust the way you know how to do now. And then just hold the strap in front of you. Your strap, scarf, whatever it is. And inhale the arms up, and you can use that strap to gain length. For some of you, you're just gonna keep it straight forward. You got shoulder issues, right? Lift and open. And sometimes when we've got that strap, we could just reach a little further. And then exhale down. We use straps for a lot of things in Iyengar yoga. The next thing I want to use you to use the strap for is just place the top of the strap or your whatever you've got right at, around the collarbones. And then the bottom of it just below the navel, just right around the navel, just below. And then if you are able to go forward, if you don't have osteo, right, or another issue that's preventing you from going forward, start to hinge forward. And notice what happens to the strap. If it starts to come away from your chest, it means you're rounding forward as computer slouch. So that means you might have been going too far. Only hinge forward as long as you can keep that strap pretty taut, right? You might end up going less and then release. It's kind of honesty in the practice, right? So you stay down, stay in your forward bend. Wherever is right for you, chest still open, sit bones still grounding. Back of the neck long, breath soft. And then when you're ready, slowly, slowly inhale up. Feel the breath here. And then slowly, with as little movement as possible, come into Shavasana. I'm going to show you those movements that I talk you through each week. So you can see me, I'll do this really briefly. You've heard them. Now let's see them. This works. So I come into Shavasana. Make space through the low back. Extend one heel out and then the other. I actually don't need head support. Most of you are going to need head support, right? Release the legs. Elbows press into the floor. Lift and open the heart center. Get things out of your way so you're not bumping into them. That's what I talk you through all the time. Even my elastic band, I don't want it there. Head support as needed. Shavasana.
make whatever adjustments you need to be comfortable. We learned that deeply from Barb today. Thank you, Barb. Be particular. Take what you need. Once you've made the adjustments to be comfortable, take comfort and find stillness. Let the whole body release to the earth. Just let go. Feel the opening of the heart center. Feel the ease of breath. Watch the breath. Let each breath take you deeper and deeper into silence. Allow the breath to deepen. Place the hands on the torso. Feel the breath. Bend the knees. Slowly roll to the right side. Support your head. Softly, softly open your eyes. Keeping the gaze toward the floor. Slowly, slowly press yourself up to sitting and return to our virtual circle. Everyone doing okay? Give me a little nod or a thumbs up. Yes, good. Yes, good. Good. All right. Everyone I see, I'm seeing a thumbs up. But if you're not visible, fantastic. Mary Kay, let me know how you're doing over the break, all right? Got a thumbs up from everyone else. I know you're taking care of yourself, Mary Kay. Thank you for this practice this morning or afternoon. We end the yoga practice with namaste. Namaste means the light in me sees and honors the light in you. It's a way of seeing each person in the circle at the highest level. So bring our hands to the heart center, finding that lifted place of sitting that we've been working on all morning today or afternoon. Lift the sternum bone up into the thumbs, lift and open the heart, softness of the abdomen. Thank you for your practice. Namaste. Releasing the hands, opening the eyes. Thank you so much for your practice. Have a beautiful lunch or meal break. Right now in Calgary, it is 1:07. So we're going to break for, I want to make sure you've got that full hour and a half. So we will break, it's now 1:08. So let's make it until, it was going to be 2:30. We'll give you an extra 10 minutes to cover that. So 2:40, so an hour and 32 minutes from now. And I'm back again. If you're still hearing my voice, if you're not, that's fine. We'll catch up on the other side. We are going to break instead until, since I disappeared for a few minutes, we'll break until 1:45. I don't know if you're hearing my voice, but I'll put that in the chat. We'll break until 2:45 Mountain Time. If you didn't hear it, I will post the articles if you choose to look at them. Have a really wonderful break, everybody, and I'll see you in a short while.